The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, always happy to be sitting in for my dear friend Todd. I have some questions for you. And I've got to give you a little perspective as we examine these things, but are you familiar with the phrase alert and oriented? Does that mean anything to you, A&O? A&O times four? I'll tell you who knows what I'm talking about right off the bat. If you are a first responder, you are an EMT, a paramedic, a law enforcement officer, firefighter, you know what I'm talking about. Alert and oriented. If you are a nurse, if you are a social worker who is involved with counseling, you're somebody who's on a crisis intervention team, alert and oriented. This is the first thing you do when you encounter a subject, right? You're dispatched to a call of some sort. Jeff, you're going to go to such and such an address. Now, listen, there's somebody there. You're going to have to figure out, I mean, honest to goodness, what's going on with them. We can't quite make heads or tails out of it. Person we think might be suffering from some sort of an ailment. Something's going on. They just don't seem to know what's going on. That's what's going on, is they don't know what's going on. And you get there. And I'm going to tell you right now, it does not matter. It does not matter which part of the first responder chain you are. You get there, you see somebody sitting on the sidewalk, or you see somebody standing, maybe wandering around, and you go up to them. Hey, hi, I'm Jeff. I'm with the local EMT service. I'm an EMT. I'm with this EMS service, and it appears you need some help. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. You know who you are? What's your name? Do you know where you are? Do you know what the time of day is? You know what's going on, right? Because a lot of times you get calls like that. Maybe it's the county fair, or the state fair. Do you know what's going on? So if the person can say to you, "Yep, yeah, you know, Jeff Katz, that's my name." Okay, well, you are alert and oriented times one. Do you know where you are, the place? Yes, yes, I am in beautiful Hanover County, Virginia. Well, there you go, alert and oriented times two. Do you know what time it is? Yes, I do, and you tell them the time. You're alert and oriented times three. What about the event? Well, I'm not at the county fair, but here I am, broadcasting from my friend Todd Starnes from the Liberty University studios. Hey, guess what? I am alert and oriented times four. Now we can move on. My question for you, and I mean it very sincerely, do you think Joe Biden could pass the same test? Because all I hear from this guy is drivel, unconnected, disconnected jumbles of pseudo-syllables. He doesn't seem to have any idea where he is, what he's doing, why he's there. None of it. And yet, here he is. He's the president of the United States.
Now, I think he sort of like set dressing, to tell you the truth. I really do. I think they kind of, you know, they pick him up like a potted plant and they move him around. Hey, stand over there, just stand over there. But look at this guy. Half the time, it seems like he's shaking hands with invisible people. He's telling stories that clearly make no sense. Let me rephrase that. They make no sense to us because you and I live here on terra firma and we speak English. And we're not delusional or deranged or demented. So they don't make any sense. He is a troubled individual. And you know what? If he were just your weird Uncle Joe, you and your family could have a conversation and say, look, you know, Uncle Joe's always been weird. Yeah. Does that whole sniffing little girl's hair thing. Oh, yeah. All right. So he's always been a little off. Right. Well, now it's getting worse. What do you think we ought to do? I mean, he doesn't know where he is or why he's there or what the time of day is. And I don't know. Do we probably have to get his driver's license taken away, right? Yeah. And what else? I think he needs help. That's what you and I would do as a decent human being. If it were just our own personal weird Uncle Joe. The problem we've got here is the man's the president of the United States. This evening, he is supposed to deliver a primetime address to tell all of America that Republicans are evil terrorists. Because that's the line, isn't it? You and I, if we do not support him, you and I, if we don't support his ilk, somehow we are threats to the United States of America. I do see some threats to America, but certainly not on the GOP side. So we're going to talk a little bit about it as we head through the afternoon. I remind you, you're always welcome to jump in. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Do you think Joe Biden could actually pass an exam of some sort? Now, there are all sorts of really involved cognitive exams. And if you remember, President Trump, when he was in office, what did he do? He took one of these things and he aced it just to, he thought, make the left-wing babblers shut up. Now, of course, they didn't because they're inherently bad people. But do you think Joe Biden could take something like that? If you're in Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, who's running for the U.S. Senate, is recovering from a stroke. Now, I don't particularly like John Fetterman. He seems to me to be a bully, a loudmouth left-wing bully who lived off his parents until he was, 40, 45 years old? But he's now chickened out of a debate with Dr. Oz. He claims it's because he's recovering from the stroke and it just wouldn't be fair. Now, Dr. Oz, who happens to be a real doctor, honest to goodness, said, well, sure, I mean, we'll make all sorts of allowances if he's got to run to the men's room or he's got to do this, he's got to do that. You know, we don't want him to be uncomfortable or anything else, man. We do everything that's right. Fetterman still chickened out. And I don't know how far left Pennsylvania has gone since I grew up there many decades ago. But even those folks, even if you're on the far left in Pennsylvania, don't you have to be looking at this going, yeah, he's just not up for the job. And all of us have to be looking at Joe Biden and thinking, you know, he's just not up for the job. Let me give you an example here. Joe Biden, we got cut number 7, please.
We took on the NRA and we're going to take him on again and we won. And we will win again. But we're not stopping here. I'm determined to ban assault weapons in this country. Determined. I did it once before, and I'll do it again. For many of you home, I want to be clear. It's not about taking away anybody's guns. In fact, we should be treating responsible gun owners as examples how every gun owner should behave. I have 2 shotguns at home. It's a long story, but I'm not opposed to guns. But I support the Second Amendment, and I support the Second Amendment. But the Second Amendment, as one of the most conservative justices in history, Justice Scalia, once wrote, like, quote, like most rights, the rights granted by the Second Amendment are not unlimited. Right now, you can't go out and buy an automatic weapon. You can't go out and buy a cannon. And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use that's used to provide this. And who are they shooting at? Shooting at these guys behind me.
Any idea what he's saying at all? I got two shotguns. I was a guns, and I blah, 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 blah. You need an F-15 to buy. What the heck is he talking about? He's babbling incoherently. He's not up for the job. I'm here to tell you that. We'll talk a little bit more about it. And make no mistake, the leftists have decided that the way they are going to contest this election, the only way they're going to win, is to turn every decent American into a criminal. That's where they're headed, right? You're a bad person. You're a terrorist. You're an opponent of democracy. How about telling us about what a great job you're doing? I mean, just an idea. Hey, I want to remind you quickly that as you and I head to the gas stations, go to the supermarket, we're all feeling the pain, right? Market is in a bad situation day in, day out. Americans, frankly, finding ourselves living paycheck to paycheck. I'm going to tell you something, though. Seniors are struggling to survive. It is not the time to panic, though. It's actually the time to act. AMAC. The Association of Mature American Citizens will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and at restaurants. But AMAC does so much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit AMAC Action, takes the challenges against our Constitution and our free market straight to Capitol Hill. Is joining easy? You betcha. Just go to amac.us/starns. You can start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and yeah, you should join as well. AMAC cares about you. They care about America. They save you money. They help to support conservative causes. Do this, please. Go to amac.us/starns. Only $16 per year. Oh, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. While you're online, make sure you visit toddstarns.com. Get updated with all of the latest, not just in the world of Todd Starns, but all of the information you're going to need to make it through the day. My friend Tony Pham, formerly the director of ICE for President Trump, is going to join us a little bit later today. We'll talk about the United States Border Patrol chief who, under oath, said, yes, the border is a crisis, it's a sieve, and it's all due to Joe Biden. It is Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd, and this is The Todd Starn Show.
Are you looking for a movie that celebrates the gift of life? Well, get ready for Lifemark, the new movie from the Kendrick Brothers and Kirk Cameron, opening in theaters everywhere September 9th. In Lifemark, David's comfortable world is turned upside down when his birth mother unexpectedly reaches out to him, longing to meet the 18-year-old son she's only held once. With the encouragement of his adopted parents, David embarks on a life-altering journey of discovery that leads to a staggering truth from his past. Inspired by a true story, Lifemark is a powerful reminder that one decision, one choice, can impact so much more than one life. Lifemark is pro-family, pro-love, pro-forgiveness, pro-reconciliation, and pro-new beginnings. So if you are too, make your plans to see Lifemark. See Lifemark in theaters nationwide beginning September 9th. And learn more about Lifemark and get your tickets today at LifemarkMovie.com. That's LifemarkMovie.com.
Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. No. Question I've got for you. I've asked it, and I don't know. People are sort of noodling it around, taking a look at the situation. Should Joe Biden even be in the Oval Office? I don't know. I don't think he's up to speed, but let me point you back in the direction of how he and the rest of his team are determined to win the election coming up in November. And I guess actually now that we think about it, right, it's election season. It's weeks upon weeks upon weeks. Mail-in ballots, put them on your etch-a-sketch, whatever you want to do. We'll count everybody's vote at least once. Why not? Now, that's craziness, of course. Seemed to me that for the longest time, we all were able to figure out, election day is such and such a day. Okay, I'll be there. I may have to go early in the morning before work. May have to go a little bit later in the day after work. Maybe I get some time during the day to go. Maybe it's my lunch hour. Maybe I'm not working. Whatever it is, but everybody figured it out. And then all of a sudden we decided, it's just too difficult. Now here you are, you're being asked to choose, amongst other things, the leader of this nation. I don't think it ought to be as simple as driving by a window. Well, I think you ought to show up. Anyway, take a listen. I've got another little snippet here. And again, it is nothing more than an attack. And it is a vicious, nasty, ugly one coming from Joe Biden. Can we do a cut number four, please?
We took on the NRA. We're going to take them on again. And we won. And we will win again. But we're not stopping here. I'm determined to ban assault weapons in this country. Determined. I did it once before, and I'll do it again. For many of you home, I want to be clear. It's not about taking away anybody's guns. In fact, we should be treating responsible gun owners as examples how every gun owner should behave. I have two shotguns at home. It's a long story, but I'm not opposed to guns. But I support the Second Amendment, and I support the Second Amendment. But the Second Amendment, as one of the most conservative justices in history, Justice Scalia, once wrote, like most rights, the rights granted by the Second Amendment are not unlimited. They're not unlimited. Right now, you can't go out and buy an automatic weapon. You can't go out and buy a cannon. And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use that's used to provide this. And who are they shooting at? Shooting at these guys behind me.
So you can hear that kind of overlaps with cut number seven there, but that's all right. The message is clear, is it not? Well, by the way, does anybody want to tell Joe Biden you could buy a cannon if you wanted to? You absolutely, positively could buy a cannon. I didn't look on eBay yet today. I haven't noodled around Craigslist, and I'm not sure that it would lend itself to our yard, but you could go out and buy a cannon. This all gets back to my initial thesis. The guy's not up to the job. You and I have some opportunities with this upcoming election. I don't like to preach about elections. I really don't, because I think people just hear about it. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear about that. But you have to hear about this one. Because what we're seeing now is this war that's been launched against anybody that doesn't agree with what's going on. We are going to get a primetime address from Joe Biden. Now, here's what this means to me. It means that he has been prepped. He's been rehearsing. There have been extra naps, maybe some snacks. Hey, here's another dollop of pudding to inspire you to get out there and give the performance of your lifetime, Mr. President. Okay. We'll see if it works. But we're already hearing, already seeing, already getting the heads up that it's going to be painted in a way that says, if you don't support him and his team, then you are against freedom and democracy. Now, it is desperation. There's no question in my mind. You've got the opportunity to sort of pump the brakes. That's what this midterm election is going to be all about. Mr. Magoo is still going to be in the Oval Office, and Mr. Magoo is still going to be driving the car that is the United States of America, and he's still going to be driving it awfully close to the edge. But we can pump the brakes just a little bit. We can hopefully keep him from going over the side and taking us down. we'll see how that works out. Remind you, you're always welcome to jump in, 844-747-8868. Always a thrill for me, Jeff Katz, to be sitting in for my friend Todd right here from the Liberty University Studios. You are listening to The Todd Starn Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
It's the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd from the Liberty University Studios. We'll talk about this border crisis in a few moments. A good friend of mine, Tony Pham, who served as ICE director for President Trump, is going to join us. You know, there's a development that has sort of flown under the radar, unfortunately. The chief of the United States Border Patrol gave testimony. Said, yeah, we've got a gigantic crisis on the border. It is uncontrolled. It's like a sieve. And it's all due to the policies of Joe Biden. I'm going to point out to you, this is the current chief of the United States Border Patrol. I don't know how long he'll get to remain the chief of the United States Border Patrol, because I got to figure that the folks in the White House are not happy with this guy telling the truth about what's going on. They've got the DHS secretary who seems more than willing to lie about anything left, right, and center, pretend that what's happening is not happening. You've got the minister of propaganda up there, that Karine Jean-Pierre, saying, well, you shouldn't really believe your lying eyes. You know, we don't have anybody walking across the border. All the while, you and I are watching video of, you know, people walking across the border. But Tony's going to analyze that for us, dissect that for us. Looking forward to catching up with him. Now, the power of the big mommy government, the nanny state, right? We've all talked about that for years. I want to give you two examples that are really, really, really coming to a head. Now, first, I got to point you north. I don't know if you've spent any time north of the border. Heidi and I used to go to Montreal all the time. When I was working in Boston, Montreal was a few hours away. We used to do trips up there all the time. And we thought, you know what? We're going to buy something up here in Quebec. Buy a house. We were ready to do it. And then we've got kids, and we're going, hey, you know what? This would be a really cool experience, wouldn't it? We moved to another country. And we each speak, well, I think she's fluent. I know enough French to say, fundamentally, I don't speak French. But I know enough. And the boys were both taking French in school. So he said, you know what, let's do this. This would be wonderful. Oh, I should point out, this is when Barack Obama was president. And it really did look like the United States of America, as we know it, was really in a bad way. You know why? Because it was in a really bad way. So we actually started the process. And I got to tell you, the Canadians were so friendly and so helpful and so happy to chat with us. And they said, all right, well, Mr. Katz, you have to explain to us that what, again, what is it that you do? I said, well, I'm a talk show host. Oh, okay. And there are no Canadians that can do that job? And I said, no. I said, I'm not going to be doing it for the listening audience in Canada. I'll still be doing it for my audience in the United States. And, you know, the technology is wonderful. I'm going to have a studio in the house, and I won't be taking a job away from any Canadians. Oh, okay, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. And you have the money to put a down payment on a home and buy a home? Yes, we sure. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. And you say your wife has a connection. That's right. Her grandfather came from New Brunswick, and she has been involved in traveling to New Brunswick over the years, as well as the other maritime province. Oh, this is marvelous. Oh, they were so happy. They really were. I mean, they were like this picture postcard of the Canadians. I don't know if you think about Canada. I always think about Canada like our attic. You know, like every once in a while, you pull down the steps in the hallway and you walk up into the attic and go, oh, man, there's a bunch of cool stuff. I totally forgot about all the cool stuff up here. And then you put the door back and you forget about it for another whatever. That's how I feel about Canada. Like you go there and go, oh, man, this is so cool. Just like being in America, it's a little bit cleaner. Everybody is painfully polite. Don't want to be there in February, but okay. So I'm having these wonderful conversations with the Canadian immigration people. And everything is just looking wonderful. Heidi and I are actually looking at properties online in Quebec. Thinking, wow, this is going to be so cool. What a unique adventure for the boys. And you may be thinking, oh, wait a minute, Jeff, you've visited here before. Todd has asked you to sit in a time or two. You've mentioned your daughter, Julia. Yeah, I should probably remind everybody about Julia. Julia is severely disabled. Now, my oldest boy, getting ready to head back to California. Oh, that pains me to say that, but he'll be a junior at Stanford. Brilliant kid, wicked smart. But he's headed back to California. My youngest guy, he's going to be a senior in high school this year. It's amazing to me to think that he's that old. And then in the middle is Julia. Julia is 19 years old, chronologically. But developmentally, Julia is about 18 months old. She doesn't speak. Walking is difficult at times. Julia wears diapers and doesn't have the ability to take care of her own needs. So Julia is going to be with us forever. Well, when it came time to have this chat with the immigration people in Canada, their tone changed. And I'm telling you, they were so nice and so happy and so polite and so bubbly. This is wonderful, Mr. Katz. Tell us about your family. And I did what I just did with you. I shared all about Heidi and Harry and Joe. And I was talking about Julia. And the guy acted as if a giant curtain had fallen down, as if a big wall was there. He said, I'm sorry, you'll never be able to come here. I said, well, why? Didn't we have a great conversation today and last week and the week before? My gosh, we're looking at properties. We got, Mr. Katz, your daughter's disabled. I said, yeah, that's true. Well, she will be a drain on our medical system. And I said, well, I'm not looking for citizenship. I'm not looking for the benefits of being a landed immigrant. I mean, I just want to own a home here and, you know, do whatever. No, not a chance. Even if you were to purchase something here, sir, you'll never get landed immigrant status. You'll never be eligible for citizenship. Your children won't be eligible, and you won't be able to stay because your daughter's disabled. Now, this is that wonderful, caring, loving socialist healthcare system. And I said, well, what if I just maintain my own health insurance? No, we don't let you do that. You can't do that. Well, what if I say I'm gonna take Julia back to the United States? Nope. So that was the end of it. So why do I bring that up? Because when you have the big socialist healthcare system, you get reactions like that, and you also get a reaction like this from Newfoundland and Labrador. The folks in Newfoundland and Labrador like their sodas. They've got unique sodas, by the way. Birch beer, which, by the way, is actually a Pennsylvania Dutch thing, and it is delicious. Birch beer, I believe, is what root beer wants to be when it grows up. They've got something called Pineapple Crush. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's a pineapple soda. And they've got something called Purity Syrup, which is essentially like a slow drip of simple syrup. But that's, they like it. And the people there are not stealing it. They're buying it and they're drinking it. But the big nanny state people, the folks who are the government apparatchiks who run the socialized healthcare system in Newfoundland and Labrador, said, well, this is not good. We don't think this is good for you. And these are adults they're talking to. Living, breathing adults who are buying the sodas that they want to drink. And so, with no fanfare, they simply imposed a tax on sweetened beverages. Could be soda, could be an energy drink, could be iced tea. What would my dear friend Todd Starnes do if he's visiting Newfoundland and Labrador? And there's a giant tax now on iced tea. There's no embarrassment, by the way. One of the spokesflags for this system said, and I quote, there's definitely an opportunity for population-level interventions to shift the intake of beverages towards something that is more health-promoting. In other words, your mom is telling you you're not allowed to have that. And it does not matter that you're not stealing it. It does not matter that you are an adult. None of it matters because you are beholden, whether you like it or not, to the nanny state, to Big Mommy government. And I don't know about you, I loved my mom. I really did. I loved my mom, but I couldn't wait to leave her house. I wanted to get out in the real world. I wanted to make decisions. I wanted to have cereal for breakfast if I really wanted to. Canada, for all of its appeal, as I said, it's kind of like your attic, right? You go up there and go, wow, some really cool stuff. I forgot how neat it was. But it's also like living with your mom. I think there's something wrong with that. I'll tell you the other thing. I think there's something wrong with towels. Have you dealt with towels recently? They just don't seem to dry anymore. You notice that? Right? You go to the stores and they're kind of soft, but they have that, I don't know, lotion-y feel. And then you get them home and they just don't absorb the water. Well, Mike Lindell, great guy. I love Mike. He and the team at MyPillow found out that way back around 2006, towels actually had changed forever. Here's what happened. Companies started importing them. They started adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but it also made them less effective. They don't work. Well, what did Mike do? Mike went out, found the best towel company right here in the United States. They've got proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but they actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come, of course, with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. So, we've got these in our house. I'll tell you that right now. Each of the bathrooms has two sets. That's how much we love them. You get a six-piece set. That's two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. Again, made with USA cotton. They're soft, but they're super absorbent. Normally, that'd be $109.99. I got news for you. That'd be a good price. But right now, you get them for $39.99. All you've got to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special. You will get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products, including the towels. You enter promo code STARNS, or you call 1-800-839-8506 for all of the great offers. It is Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd, and this, of course, is the Todd Starnes Show.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
It's the Todd Starn Show live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz happened to be sitting in for my friend Todd. Coming up in a couple of moments, what the heck is really going on the border? You've got the White House spokesflax standing up there telling all of us, well, there's nobody walking across the border. And we're watching them walk across the border. Oh, no, that's not what you saw. What did I see? I don't know, but that's not what you saw. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Gotta tell you, I'm going with my own personal vision on this one. I really am. Tony Pham, who was President Trump's ICE director, will be with us in a couple of moments, and he'll kind of lay it out for us what is really going on. Now, I mentioned to you a couple of moments ago, I said, hey, I got a couple examples of this big statism, the nanny state, the mommy state, whatever you want to call it. Well, I got another one. It's a little bit closer to home. Now, it's in California. A lot of people, myself included, a while ago, I don't care what's going on in California. Look, they're, it's all crazy out there, and that stuff just stays there. But it doesn't stay there anymore. That's the problem. California's crazy ideas are no longer contained in the state of California. So let me give you the latest example of what's happening out there, and I could almost guarantee certain other states will quickly adopt the same nonsense, right? A lot of the craziness starts in California. Next thing you know, it's in New York. And then it just gets pushed. So the California state legislature, their state assembly and their state senate, has passed a brand new bill. It's headed to the desk of Gavin Newsom, who, as you know, is really running for president. That's what he's really doing. It is going to his desk to be signed. And the indications are he's going to sign it. So what's it going to do? It will punish doctors and other medical professionals if they provide, quote, false information about COVID-19 vaccinations or treatments. There doesn't seem to be a lot that's settled in this arena, does there? Are you old enough to remember way back when, is it 2 years ago? When we were told the vaccines would keep you from getting COVID-19. The coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, or the new and improved politically correct COVID-19. Because those were all the names. We were told the vaccine would keep us from getting it. Okay. Then we were told, well, you're going to need to get a booster shot to keep from getting it. And then we got a whole bunch of people getting it, even after they've gotten the vaccine, even after they've gotten the booster shot, even after they've gotten two booster shots. Your doctor and you ought to be making these decisions, right? Haven't we heard that for years? My body, my choice. It's between you and your doctor. Okay. I want the conversation to be with my doctor. I want my doctor to be able to say to me, hey, Jeff, listen, here's why this vaccine really is good for you. And just before you think, wait a minute, Jeff, you're just one of those anti-vaccine people. Quite the contrary. I'll tell you right now, I don't get any medical advice from Jenny McCarthy, period, end of story. I got the Moderna vaccine. I got the booster shot. Will I get the new booster shot? Well, I don't know. It's brand new, but you know what I am going to do? I'm going to talk with my doctor about it. But the law in California, if Gavin Newsom passes it and becomes a law, it will say that doctors and other healthcare professionals who are, quote, accused of spreading misinformation or disinformation could face disciplinary action from the Medical Board of California for unprofessional conduct. That could include suspending a license, revoking a license. Now,
I believe different people wind up with different points of view on a lot of things. A state assemblyman, who I'll point out is not a doctor, said due to their specialized knowledge and training, licensed physicians possess a high degree of public trust and therefore must be held to account. So in other words, if your doctor said to you, look, I don't think this is right for you, or I don't think this is going to work, this state assemblyman says they should be punished. Quote, the spreading of misinformation contradicts the responsibility, threatens to further erode the public trust in the medical profession, and puts all patients at risk. Au contraire, mon frère. I think it inspires trust. I think it says to me that my doctor actually knows what's good for me from a medical perspective, and it might not be the same as is good for you. I got the vaccines. I got the booster. I'm happy with them. Again, your mileage may vary. What's really going on the border? Well, we are going to find out in a couple of moments. President Trump's former ICE director will be with us. Jeff Katz in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. It is the Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University studios. Jeff Katz, happy as always when asked to sit in for my friend Todd, all sorts of very, very important information that we are dealing with. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at a few of these developments, as I said a couple of moments ago, that really bug me. The idea that we can have people tell us what we are or are not seeing. I mean, does that not disturb you? You take a look at video. You're actually seeing people walk across the border. I watched it. And I've watched it over and over and over and over and over again. And then to have the press secretary, the presidential press secretary, get up and say, oh, no, that's not happening. I just watched it. Now, if you want to give me an explanation as to why it is happening, I'll listen to you. But please, don't tell me that I need to get better glasses because I just watched it. The chief of the United States Border Patrol says, oh, yeah, the border's like a sieve, and this is all Joe Biden's doing. I don't know how long that guy's going to get to keep his job, but at least he is up there saying what's really going on. Now, somebody who looks at this, I think, through a very unique prism is Tony Pham, a great friend of mine, but in addition to that, much more importantly for this discussion, served as the ICE director during President Trump's time in office. He worked for President Trump. He was responsible for all of this. And I just wanted to get his reaction to some of the things we're seeing and some of the things the Border Patrol chief said. Tony, welcome.
Jeff, hey, thank you. Always a pleasure coming onto the show. Glad to be here. Answer any questions you have, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Tony joining, of course, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So, Tony, you read, you examined, you saw what the chief of the Border Patrol had to say. All right, a little chuckle there. Lay it out for us. What did he say, and what does it really mean?
Yeah, Jeff, just so your listeners will know, I did read all 299 pages of his deposition transcript. That's just the lawyer in me, right? but it paints... You know, we have to understand Chief Ortiz, hats off to him. He is a career official, 31 years in service in Border Patrol. So he's seen it all, right? So it's a little bit different perspective than when you get Schedule C political points. He's coming on to a show railing about the Biden administration's policies. But here is a career official whose sole purpose is to enforce the law, because that's what he signed up to do. Right. And when asked, point blank, is the border in crisis? His answer was yes. And that is a complete contradiction to what this administration is trying to gaslight the American people into believing. And that goes, it's terrible that we have an elected position and his appointees trying to just misdirect the American people in what's really happening at the border. Why is that important, Jeff? Because even Chief Ortiz said it. Since President Biden has taken office, more migrants have lost their lives crossing over into the United States than at any other point in time in its history. And that is just a tragedy of epic proportions involving the human condition that we as Americans cannot overlook, that these policies are drawing people into very dangerous situations. And that's what I got from when I read Chief Ortiz's full deposition transcript.
So, as you point out, Chief Ortiz is a career guy, up through the ranks, starts as a Border Patrol agent, rises to the highest levels of the United States Border Patrol. It's a well-regarded, highly esteemed law enforcement agency, a difficult job under the best of circumstances, and in his deposition, and remind us, because as you said, you're an attorney. So, counselor, was he under oath?
Yep. Sworn in under oath, had several breaks afforded to him, even through multiple objections for the attorney representing the United States. He was very calm, collected, and very clear in his answers, as you would expect from a law enforcement officer, right?
Yep.
Very crystal clear in what his, how he discerned how the policies were playing out at the southern border. For him to call it a crisis, if you're not going to listen to political appointees call it a crisis, at a minimum, please listen to the career officials who see us come and go, quite frankly, through administrations, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're there towing the line. These are the people that we as political appointees should be listening to as we try to implement the president's, our president or our administration's policy initiative. We should always go to our career officials and find out, hey, how do we make this work? Because I can assure you, if the Biden administration came to Chief Ortiz and said, hey, I want to make this policy work, he'll tell no, it ain't going to happen. Because it's going to pull more people over. Jeff, I'm going to give you some examples. Just up to now, in this fiscal year, year to date, we have over 1,946,780 migrant encounters. And we're not even done with this fiscal year yet. Last total fiscal year, we were was still a record breaker, but was 1,734,000. So there's already a 200,000 migrant encounter increase, and it's just July, man.
What?
And so they're breaking. The July numbers were down from last July, but what Chief Ortiz said in his deposition was, "We still have a few months to go." And these are just the apprehensions, Jeff, and I've said it before, the gotaways are the ones that should scare the American people. The ones that walk over and aren't apprehended. And allow me to say this about the press secretary. Take her hind parts down to the border and see for herself, because you and I have talked about this. Yep. I went to Yuma. Not even in my civilian capacity, I went to Yuma. And right in front of my face in April, migrants popped up when CBP was moving on to the processing center. No agent was there. Migrants popped up, meandered right across the Mexico-U.S. border in Yuma, and disappeared onto the U.S. soil. And it's happening. And for even the press secretary to push, you know, false talking points, who's pushing false news now? Who's pushing the fake news, Jeff?
Yeah, this is all fake news.
I'm
absolutely right.
I'm
And well, you should be. I remind everybody on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tony Pham. Tony was the ICE director for President Trump. I have to ask you about Chief Ortiz. You said 30-plus years in, which means he's probably okay if he has to pull the pin and retire. But how much pressure is he now getting from Mayorkas and the other folks inside the administration? I mean, he's blown the lid on this and said, look, the Biden team has created this. This is what's going on. Are they going to force this guy out?
Oh, come on. You know what? I think they ate a lot of crow. They need to leave him alone, quite frankly, because he's and let him speak the truth. Because they've already got mud on their faces for jumping the gun on that horse-whipping incident involving CBP, right? And got, you know, got turned around when the IG said they couldn't find anything that was wrong. They had to pencil-whip in some admin violations. No, I think it would do, if these folks cared about America,
yep.
If they cared about the safety of the interior and cared about us as citizens, then they would appreciate, listen to what this career official is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, and maybe work with the career officials to figure out, hey, maybe we can implement some different policies and procedures. Look, I always tell people elections have consequences, Jeff, but how you implement your policies can have devastating impact on the well-being of the American public. And what I don't enjoy here, because I have to accept that they are implementing their policies. Yeah, we had to eat it for 2 years.
Right.
But when you roll back everything at one time and you don't have a plan in place, that's a disservice to the people that elected you or that you have a duty to protect as an appointed position. And that's what frustrates me the most, because I'll give you one last example.
Okay.
When President Trump and his team were in office in fiscal year 2020, we only had 33,239 unaccompanied minors and single minor encounters, right? Because our pull factors were negated. People were not coming to the border because they just didn't feel they were going to get in.
That's right.
To date, in this fiscal year in July, 128,845 single minors, unaccompanied children were apprehended at the border. These policies, it's like a dinner bell, right? And it's creating this environment where people are willing to take the risk of the treacherous journey and put their lives on the line. And they should be going to these ports of entry, Jeff, and turning themselves in and claiming asylum. But instead, they're rushing and they're trying to cross over the river and these borders and hope not to be detected. And that's frustrating because they shouldn't be doing that, and we shouldn't be implementing policies that incentivize that.
Absolutely. Tony, I'm over time, but in 30 seconds, can you, as the former director of ICE, as you join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, can you give me 30 seconds, your gut check response to D.C.'s mayor, New York's mayor, and now Chicago's mayor being treated to busloads of uninvited guests?
Welcome to the dance. That's all I have to say. When I deal with them as sanctuary cities, it just made my head hurt, Jeff. All I can tell them is, hey, welcome to the dance. Now you know exactly what the citizens feel during as the border state. So no sympathy for me on that part.
I got you. Well, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Tony Pham. Tony was ICE director for President Trump. He has a thoroughly unique perspective. And as he said, the sworn testimony of the career Border Patrol chief makes very clear the crisis on the border is real. It has been created by Joe Biden and his team, and it is an absolute tragedy that it's happening. Now, I mentioned to you that Tony was joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and I got to remind you, now more than ever, important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Not only do they share our beliefs, they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile right now. Use promo code Todd. Get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage, uses the same towers other carriers use. They've got plans to fit any budget.
along with great discounts for veterans and first responders, real heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile, easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. It's the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd, live from the Liberty University studios. Great insight, I thought, from my friend Tony Pham. Tony is a brilliant guy, and his family, the epitome of the American dream. So Tony's got a real personal story that comes into play every time he's talking about the immigration process, legal, illegal, this, that. And you heard what he had to say about Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre, as you know, is the current press secretary. It for some reason you didn't hear, you were able to skillfully avoid her comments. Peter Ducey, who actually engages in the practice of journalism there inside the White House press room, asked her a question or two about COVID and vaccines and illegal immigration. Take a listen to cut number 9.
Submit protocols, I'd refer you to them. They have their own specific protocols as well. But so they're two different things. They're two different things.
But so how is it two different things? Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated. They're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually, no.
Happening. I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not, it's not like somebody walks over and that's not how.
That's exactly what's happening.
Thousands
of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves over. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not. That is what is happening.
So let me just lay out what we have done under this administration. We have installed new border technology and set up joint protocols with Mexico and Guatemala to catch more human traffickers. We have already made over 3,000 arrests in the first 3 months of launching an unprecedented anti-smuggling campaign with regional partners. We've secured record levels of funding for the Department of Homeland Security.
3,000 arrests versus, as Tony Pham pointed out, 1.7 million encounters with illegal aliens. How's that working out for you, you think? You've seen the video. You've seen the images. You've seen it. And it's not part of the vast right-wing conspiracy. Gang, there are folks that just stand on the border with their cell phones. You've got ranchers on the border who every single day have to deal with people that come trampling through their yards and their fields and destroy crops and animals. Leave human waste behind. But there she is. She's the press secretary for our president, saying, oh, that's not what's happening. It is what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. Decent men and women in this country are worried about the economy right now, right? All sorts of talk right now about layoffs. We're seeing unprecedented inflation. Inflation that, quite frankly, has not been seen in a couple of generations. Purchasing power is disappearing. But she's telling us everything is fine. People who wanted nothing more than to go to work or keep their own businesses open during the COVID times were told they're awful people, terrible people. They're going to be drummed out of the military. They won't be allowed to be firefighters or police officers if you don't do exactly what we tell you to do. Oh, and by the way, we've got a million folks entering the country illegally, and they've just walked away. There's something wrong with this, don't you think? Now we've got the entire Department of Justice scenario playing out, and yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. My dear friend Jimmy Galliano, a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, he's going to join us in a few moments, about a half hour or so.
Because I'm just curious to know, for those men and women, the bulk of the 12,000 FBI agents who go out there every single day and actually do the job, what are they thinking right now? It's one thing to say Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, needs to go, and boy, I'm hearing that from so many active and retired FBI agents. I get that. But for that man and woman who's part of the Bureau, who really is doing the right thing, who's really out there putting their lives on the line every single day, how are they feeling, and how on earth do we, as good Americans, stand and support those good agents? Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. And how would you like to have the government set your salary? Oh, yeah. Another example of overreach. We will address that in a moment. If you don't mind, follow The Jeff Katz Show over on Getter. Would you please, The Jeff Katz Show on Getter? You're already following Todd, I know. It is Jeff Katz in for my dear friend Todd, and this is The Todd Starnes Show. The Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd today. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. You're always welcome to jump aboard, be part of this. And remind you as well, social media, great place to stay in touch. I have fundamentally just given up on Twitter. I gave up on them a while ago when I watched the shadow banning and then the suppression and the rest of it. It's like, I just can't be bothered. Honest to goodness, I woke up one day. I forget what the exact numbers were. I'm just sort of ballparking it, spitballing it here. But had 25, 30,000 people following. The next day I got up and I went on Twitter. I think there were four. Wow, really? The heck did I say yesterday? What did I tweet yesterday that offended 29,996 people? And then I started reading about the great conservative purge, and here we go. And then they came back with some, then we lost some, and back. So anyway, I look at Twitter now, and I'm capped. I mean, I think that's what it is. They just, for whatever reason, capped it. It's like 5,800. That's it. Never gets above it. And even when it gets above it, then it comes right back below it. So. What are you going to do? I am joining you, and I remind you about this. News Radio WRVA Central Virginia is where you're going to find me on a regular basis. We are so proud, so happy to be the Central Virginia affiliate for Todd. You will find him at News Radio WRVA, whether you're listening on the FM here, 96.1, or the AM 1140, or on your Odyssey app, or online, or at toddstarnes.com. Man, it's everywhere. And it's great stuff. I just have had the utmost in respect for Todd as a human being and for his talents as a reporter, as a commentator, as a writer for a long time. We go back a long way, and I'm just very happy. I really am to see the great success that Todd has achieved, because it's warranted. I don't know anybody who works harder than Todd Starnes. So when I get the call every once in a while that says, hey, would you mind? It's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So I am thrilled to be here. Social media, though, Todd far eclipses me, as he should, right? National, international phenomenon. I'm just your humble local host in Central Virginia. But if you don't mind, could you make me feel better? Could you give the Jeff Katz Show a like over on Facebook and give it a follow, the Jeff Katz Show over on Getter? And anything that I'm talking about as we head through today, well, I've got it all posted. So if you miss something or I miss something in terms of clarity, I am here to tell you that you can always, always, always find it at either Getter, The Jeff Katz Show on Getter, or on Facebook at The Jeff Katz Show. So I asked you a question a couple of moments ago, right? Hey, how would you feel about the government setting your salary? Sounds crazy, right? We in the United States of America, at least up until now, have engaged in the free market, right? The private sector, supply and demand. God, I don't have to be Dave Bratt, the dean of the Liberty University Business School, to figure out that supply and demand has an impact on wages. What is it that you do? That's going to determine what your worth is in a financial sense, not a humanitarian sense, not whether you are or are not right with God or what your personal beliefs are or how you're living your life. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about cold dollars and cents. So I've got a friend of mine who is a world-class ophthalmologist. And I don't mean like your run-of-the-mill ophthalmologist. Honest to goodness, world-class ophthalmologist. There are only a handful of people in the world that can do what my friend does. Well, I got news for you. He's worth a lot of money. Why? Because there are only a handful of people in the world that can do what he does. I'm a talk show host, a broadcaster. I do some other things as well, but what am I worth? Well, like everybody, I'm thinking I'm not getting paid what I'm worth. I don't know anybody who thinks they're getting paid what they're worth. So we all have that sort of relationship, right? But I understand there are X number of jobs for talk radio personalities, and there's so many stations to do it at. And so this is the relative worth, and what is the size of the market, and how many people are listening, what's the advertising that's generated. That all goes into the equation. And I've been doing this long enough that I can examine those books and figure out, okay, I'm going to go here, or I'm going to go here, this is what I'm going to do. Again, free market. How about fast food workers? Fast food workers are good people for the most part. It's hard work. I get it. It's dirty work. It can be dangerous work, right? You stick your hand in the fryer later. That's not a good day. But how much is it worth? Because I'm here to tell you, as someone who has never actually worked in a fast food joint, I'd be willing to bet that I could learn what I needed to learn to work at the fast food joint pretty fast. My youngest son works at a golf club, golf course, and his job is taking care of the golf carts. So he makes what he makes. He's not a brain surgeon, but he's 17 years old, so I don't expect him to be a brain surgeon. He gets paid what he gets paid because, quite frankly, washing and cleaning the golf carts, while a difficult job, a nasty job, a messy job, is not all that complicated a job. And he, in the last, I guess it's 2 years that he's worked there. He started, I think, when he was 15 or 16. It'll be 18. So he's figured out, man, I don't want to do this. It's like, no, you don't. So he wants to be a school guidance counselor or a psychologist, and they kind of flow together. But he learned the value, right? Because he gets wet and dirty, and people don't tip them, even though when he took the job, he was like, oh, you're going to make a lot of tips. Like, no. It's been there 2 years. I think he's made $14 in tips. But he figured out, hey, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I got to do something else. Good. That's the lesson. Now, let's say you're working in the fast food joint. You're working there, and I don't know what the minimum wage is where you are. Maybe it's $8, $10, $12, whatever it is. Fast food work is a minimum wage profession. Why? Because just about everybody can do it. That doesn't mean that if you are working in a fast food joint, you're a bad person. It just means your job just ain't all that complicated. Except in California. Yep, here we go again. The Democrats in both houses of the California State Legislature, the State Assembly and the State Senate, have now passed a bill that would make the state of California responsible for setting wages for 500,000 fast food workers in the state. It's not a law yet. They sent it over to Gavin Newsom for his signature. Remember now, Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, but what he's really doing is running for president. This particular bill creates a 10-member panel called the Fast Food Council. And the members of the Fast Food Council would serve for 10 years. It will govern, and I quote here, restaurants consisting of 100 or more establishments nationally that share a common brand or that are characterized by standardized options for decor, packaging, products, and services. Some people buy a franchise of a fast food joint, and that's kind of their retirement, right? Some people that I've known over the years have said, I'm going to buy another home somehow. I'm going to have a rental property, and that's kind of going to be what my retirement is. I don't really have a good retirement at work, or my 401k is this, or my IRA. So I know people that do that. And I've known people over the years have said, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I am going to buy a McDonald's franchise or a Burger King franchise or an Arby's franchise. And they do it. So you just heard what I said, right? 100 or more establishments. And people think, well, so what? You got 100 restaurants, man. You're making big money. Uh-uh. It's 100 establishments nationally. So let's say you're the guy in California who says, I want to buy a franchise as a retirement vehicle or as a supplementary income vehicle or as my main job. Now, you don't own 100 establishments. You own one. And in fact, just for giggles, let's pick something that maybe is not in California. Right? I mean, In-N-Out Burger obviously is all over California. But what about Culver's? Anybody know Culver's from the Midwest? Culver's has the butter burger and frozen custard. It's a thing of beauty. I love Culver's. But Culver's is fundamentally a Midwest operation. So let's say you're the lucky guy who goes to them and says, hey, I want to open a Culver's franchise in California. Okay, you do it. But they've got 99 shops somewhere else. You're under this rule now because there are 100 of those establishments in the country. Oh, you want to know how much the salary is going to be? All right, well, hang on a second. I will share with you in just a moment what the Fast Food Council, if in fact Governor Newsom signs it into law, will do. The bill is called the FAST Act, and you will not believe, well, maybe you will, exactly who it is that's going to be on this board setting wages for fast food workers. Oh, my God. Goodness, my hair is going to hurt by the end of this. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. I remind you that Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is going to be with us in just a couple of moments. Try and get the lay of the land, what happened in Mar-a-Lago. Does anybody still support Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI? What's next for those brick agents, those men and women who actually go out and do the job? Because those folks, I believe, deserve our support. It's these upper levels, man, that are calling a lot of stuff into question. Social media, if you don't mind, go to Facebook and give a like to The Jeff Katz. If you're over on Getter, The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. And of course, multiple times a day, you ought to be headed to ToddStarnes.com. You'll get the very latest in terms of information and news and commentary. But in addition to that, Todd's got some really cool stuff that you can get over there, including his latest book, the devotional, The Daily Biscuit. Great, great read. Just something to give you a little charge each and every day. So ToddStarnes.com is where you will find all of that. It is Jeff Katz. Happy to be in for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes Show live from the Liberty University Studios. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd. I'm going to see Wicked tonight. I think the last time we spoke, I was headed to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Slightly different vibe going to see a Broadway show. It's not on Broadway. It's here in Central Virginia. I'm News Radio WRVA in Central Virginia on a regular basis. We got a great theater here called the Altria. And they've got a Broadway enrichment series. So anyway, I'm going to see that tonight. I'm thinking about all these good things and having a great time. And I come across the story about the crazy people in California. I'm like, it'll never happen anywhere else. But take a listen. This was actually covered in the Wall Street Journal. You know, that terrible, terrible publication that actually many times engages in, what's that term? It used to be all the radio. Oh, reporting. Yes. They actually do some reporting there. Anyway. So this measure in California that would create the Fast Food Council, it is known as the FAST Act. It has passed both the California State Assembly and the California State Senate. It is sitting on Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. If he signs it into law, it sets up the Fast Food Council. They will serve, the members of the Fast Food Council, for 10 years. The council will have members appointed by the governor and the Democrats who lead the legislature. They will appoint workers, union representatives, and apparently some actual employers. The council will set hourly wages for fast food workers. Starting next year, if it's signed into law, of $22 an hour. Wow. They would set hourly wages up to $22 for fast food workers starting next year if it is signed into law. Now, once again, I don't want to be nasty here. I really don't. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be crude. I'm a Southern gentleman by choice. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, but I came south of the Mason-Dixon line as quickly as I could. But $22 an hour for the fast food workers, I'm sorry. It's a little excessive. Why? Because just about anybody, just about everybody can do that job. The Fast Food Council, the government entity setting wages for fast food workers, would also be able to increase them annually as the same rate as at the same rate, rather, as the Consumer Price Index. Wow. Now, there was a previous version of the bill that was passed back in January, and I'm not quite sure where that is at this point. It allowed the council, again, comprised of appointees from workers, union reps, etc., to oversee workplace conditions, such as scheduling. Can you imagine that? You're the guy who's hired to work at the fast food joint, and your job is to hand somebody a bag with the burger and the fries and get the right size soda cup available and fill it with soda. And you don't like the fact you got to work on Saturday. You'd be able to take it all through the Fast Food Council and have some state agency decide if you should or shouldn't. It's a little out of whack, right? It also, in the previous bill, made restaurant chains joint employers of their franchises' employees. Wow. Now, those provisions were taken out. But these other provisions remain. This is not how it's supposed to work. Certainly not in the United States of America. Certainly not with a free market. Certainly not with our dreaded private enterprise practices. Free enterprise. Supply and demand. Econ 101. Government setting wages, starting with fast food workers. Oh, let me ask you this question. Those fast food workers who would be bumped up to $22 an hour because of the Fast Food Council appointed by uber left-wing Democrats in California, how do you think those folks are going to wind up voting the next time there's an election? Anybody vote against their own self-interest? The only people that do that are talk show hosts. See, as a talk show host, the easiest thing to do is to talk about somebody who's doing something wrong, like Joe Biden or Barack Obama. But I voted against my own self-interest. I voted for President Trump. And I even voted for the guy who ran against Barack Obama. I mean, they were interchangeable Republicans. But one person who was part of that, remember Sarah Palin? She lost in Alaska. I'll give you the details on what really happened there in a couple of moments. It is bizarre and twisted, to say the least. And who knows, maybe they'll be able to fix this as they head closer to the real election. I don't know. Check us out online, ToddStarnes.com, ToddStarnes.com. It is Jeff Katz in for Todd. It's the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for Todd, live from the Liberty University studios. So much that you and I have had to address. The fallout from Mar-a-Lago continues. I believe that the current Attorney General, I'm just going to say this, take it whichever way you'd like, I think the current Attorney General is the most political Attorney General I've ever seen. I thought Eric Holder had that distinction, but I think I was wrong. I think that Merrick Garland is rather similar to John Mitchell and all of his creep activities for then-President Nixon. That's my perspective here. I'm troubled as I look at all of this activity, as I look at all of these filings and these redacted pieces of the affidavit, and then the photos that were leaked not too long ago of allegedly top secret information found in this room at Mar-a-Lago. I'm troubled by all of it. But you know what is really disturbing to me, and I mean painfully disturbing to me, is that there are 12,000 FBI agents who go out every single day and they do the right thing and they're not guided by political ideology. They're the ones who are being attacked. I just am curious to know the sense of some folks who have served with the FBI. And I'm happy to say I have a dear friend who served with distinction. He is a West Point grad. You have seen him on television, whether it's CBS or Fox. You've read him in a variety of places, including the New York Post. He is a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI and my go-to guy on matters like this, Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Jeffrey, always great to join you, and I know we got a lot to get into, so I'm going to keep this short and say I'm happy to be here, and let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it. You saw the leaked photo the other day, top secret documents recovered from this room at Mar-a-Lago. Your sense of what's pictured there, but also your sense of having that leaked.
Yeah, that was theater. And I hate to say this because, as I always push back, and I know at the top you did caveat this by saying we both love and respect the 12,000 sworn agents, the men and women who do the hard work, and they're taking direction from the top, and all of your listeners here and Todd's listeners are certainly going to know that the FBI is led by a political appointee. It's the way that it is. The president has the right to appoint an FBI director who serves for 10 years. And an attorney general is another political appointee. And obviously everything that happens in those agencies is directed there. Jeff, I saw that. It kind of made me cringe. I get it. I remember there were times where defense attorneys, especially in public corruption cases, would get out in front of the cameras. And when I was a young FBI agent making cases, my bosses would say, shut up and do your job. You know, we're not going to weigh in on this. And you get battered in the press and you're like, gosh, if I could just put this out there, it would be the margin of victory. But we're not trying to make cases in the court of public opinion. We're following the law bereft of fear, favor. And when I saw that picture posted, Jeff, it literally turned my stomach. That was political opportunism. There was no need for that. It didn't prove anything. We knew that there were some documents that were considered to be classified either top secret, secret, or confidential, and this should have been litigated in court, whether or not the president or the former president had the right to have those or not. It shouldn't have been litigated in the media, and unfortunately, Jeff, it is.
It absolutely is. And, you know, a mutual friend of ours, I always refer to him as the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, who was legal counsel to the FBI, was a good prosecutor with the U.S. Attorney's Office. I was chatting with him, and he said, listen, President of the United States can take anything and say it's declassified. There's no form such and such that he has to fill out. He doesn't have to turn around twice counterclockwise. He just says this is no longer classified, and it's no longer classified. Now, maybe it's messy. Maybe there should be a procedure, but it's just the way it is. So I have to ask you, as somebody who spent 25 years inside the world's greatest law enforcement agency, the greatest investigative body, I think, that we've ever seen anywhere, what are those brick agents, those 12,000 who go out every single day to do the job, what are they thinking right now?
Sure. Well, firstly, we do share a friendship with our friend Joseph Moreno, and he's right. He's absolutely right. A president has a right to do that. There is a process involved in that. I mean, and I know Joe probably made that point. President can't just roll out of bed one morning and take some nuclear document and say, this is unclassified. There is a process, but he is the ultimate authority. He or she is the ultimate authority in those kind of things. What are the brick agents saying? Well, Jeff, we know that if you know, your folks that are listening here have been following the news, and this is an astute audience, so I know they are. We know that there are whistleblowers that have come to Senator Grassley, and they've come to Senator Johnson, and they've come to Congressman Jordan, and they have basically pushed back on this notion that that this is being done above board. Look, I'm not here to defend the former president, the 45th president, former President Trump. He's got a bevy of lawyers that can do that on their own, and he's eminently qualified to do that. Right. What I'm suggesting, and what I think a number of former FBI agents, retired FBI agents, and I think the number, if I heard correctly last night on Fox News, is about 20 onboard FBI agents who are acting as whistleblowers. What our concern is, disparate treatment under the law, meaning that the law is not being applied evenly. We can allow the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to bleach bit 33,000 emails. She is the governing authority to decide what needs to be reviewed by investigators when those emails were under subpoena, and what gets turned over and what doesn't. No one kicked in her door in Chappaqua, New York. And the way that they're treating this former president in Mar-a-Lago, where we know that since back in January or February, the NARA, the National Archives and Records Administration, was in active conversation and negotiations with the president, former president's lawyers, to turn over items that they felt that he should not be in possession of. Why it turned to this, I had to believe, and I know people like Annie McCarthy, who are much smarter than me, suggested maybe there was something else. There has to be more there. As I've read more, and I've looked at the search warrant, and I've looked at the redacted affidavit and the underlying fact pattern, Jeff, I don't see it. What I see is a case of mishandling of classified documents. And to go this route, unless they can prove that he was actively stymieing their request for them to be turned back over, destroying them, or giving them to Hanoi, Pyongyang, Moscow, places like that, which we all know is ludicrous, Jeff, I don't get it.
Well, I'm glad to hear I'm in good company then, because I don't get it either. I do see it strictly as this scorched earth political policy, and I don't want to necessarily get into the politics of it. My politics are such that I think it's an administration that, frankly, has done a terrible job so far and continues to do a terrible job and likes to distract here, and I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on that, but that's my perspective. Let me ask you about this guy who was apparently either retired or resigned or just up and left, the guy who was in the Washington field office, who, if I understand it correctly, was kind of guiding agents away from investigating the Hunter Biden situation. Am I reading that right?
So you're talking about a gentleman by the name of Timothy Thibault, T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T. I did not know him personally. I know everything in the FBI. He's almost 6 degrees of separation. Right. We all know each other somehow, some way, through connections with other people. I did not know him, did not work with him. I know that he was the case agent on the William Jefferson case. William Jefferson was the congressman. This is the number of years ago. That was arrested for taking cold cash. He
cold
literally
cash.
Had it
yes.
in his freezer.
Yeah.
And the feds busted him. I believe Mr. Thibault was the case agent on that. That congressman was a Democrat. So yeah. I look at things and I wonder when I hear what I'm hearing. And again, this is through what the whistleblowers are saying, that he had attempted to, I hate to use the term suppress, but, you know, look, the FBI director was asked about this when he appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee of recent, and I believe the FBI director's exact terms in regard to this, Jeff, was, it is deeply troubling. So, you know, I don't have all the details on this. I know that this person made some extremely partisan social media posts about the former president and, you know, about some PACs that were very anti-Trump. And look, I say all the time, you know, FBI agents, you know, people that work at the Department of Justice, people that work in the executive branch, they have to be careful about, you know, supporting political efforts while on the job. But they have a right to make donations and to have an opinion. Yep. What I always say is, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And the fact now that you find all these exceedingly partisan comments from a guy who made a decision prior to the 2020 election to not further pursue the Hunter Biden laptop. Jeff, I'll echo Christopher Wray's words here. It's deeply troubling.
Jimmy Galliano is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, retired supervisory special agent. Jimmy, I'm over time, but I want to give you about 30 seconds or so, if you don't mind, to remind us about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. You're on the board of directors. It's an amazing organization. I want people to know about it, if you can do it in a brief period.
I'll do it really quickly here. Go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org. We're an organization that supports and provides funding to support litigation, supporting police officers that have been unjustly accused of a crime. We don't take on every case. You can go on there and you can read up on the cases. There are a number of police officers that need our support, and I hope that your listeners will take a look and do what they can to help.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you, sir. That is Jimmy Galliano on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for Todd. It is the Todd Starn Show. The Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for Todd, joining you from the Liberty University studios. A couple of moments from now, Tom Ziegler is going to be with us. And if that name sounds familiar, Ziegler. Tom, I'm sure sounds familiar, but Ziegler. You almost assuredly are familiar with Tom's dad, Zig Ziegler. And Zig passed away a couple of years back, but Zig was one of those guys that inspired millions of people. I mean, I'm always amazed at how many people studied what Zig Ziegler taught, have taken it to heart. I like to think I'm a relatively good student, and then I meet other people who go, oh, stand back, please. Let me show you how it's done. But Tom's going to join us because I want to talk a little bit about this changing situation across America in business. We came through COVID, and you remember what happened? I know it's a long time ago. Gosh, it's 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Everything was changing, right? Well, everybody will always work from home. Well, that's not the case. There are any number of businesses that have said, hey, we're open for business again, and you're going to need to come back to the office. Some people have not done that. My situation is kind of unique because right along with COVID, I tripped and fell, and fall is a charitable description. I went flying across the hallway as I tripped over this loose flooring at the radio factory, and I hit the wall. And to put it mildly, I'll be dealing with that the rest of my life, I've learned. Like every 90 days, I will get to go to a doctor and have some other sort of procedure done. But I won't be going back anywhere. I've got now this remote location. I call it the Plaque Shack because it's like all this cool stuff on the walls. That really, if you think about it, it's kind of a tribute to my insecurity and low self-esteem. And Heidi won't let me hang any of this cool stuff up in the real house where our guests could see it. But out here, it's all mine. So this is where I work, okay? This is now my work location. But again, that's sort of the exception. There are people who are going back to traditional settings. Then there was this thing that we heard about called the Great Resignation. Now, what was the Great Resignation? Well, a whole bunch of people saying, hey, listen, I just have figured out there's a lot more important stuff going on. I was happy to see the first part of that because I really do think there's a lot more to life than work. And I don't care what it is that you do, there has to be more to your life than just work. It could be a tedious, difficult job you have. It might be, an easy, cool job like talk show host or whatever. But there's got to be more to it. There's got to be, again, I'll be preaching here, but I think there's got to be a faith component. I think there's got to be a family component. And you should be aware of the things that are really, really, really important. But you know what? You've still got to get groceries. You've still got to put overpriced gasoline in your car. Oh, I guess you could plug it into charge, right? Because everybody's going to be driving an electric vehicle. Except, did you know, California, which has now moved further down the path to outlaw gasoline vehicles, they just came out with another one of these directives. You're not allowed to charge your electric vehicle anywhere in the state of California during certain hours because it will crash their power grid. Sounds to me like they're not actually ready to do away with all the gasoline-powered cars, but I mean, it's just a detail. So then you had the Great Resignation. And then there was sort of like a recalibration. People going, well, I'm not really going to resign, but I do want more time with family or what have you. Now we're hearing, with the economy such as it is, and I hate to be the one who breaks this to you, it's not good. I'll do one of those Joe Biden creepy whispers. It's not good. But it's not good. Inflation at 40-year highs? Well, now we're hearing talk all over the place about layoffs. So how do you wrap your head around all this? Well, as I mentioned to you, Tom Ziegler is going to be with us in a few moments. Tom has looked at all of this, has calibrated all of this. He's just somebody who has, I think, a very, very unique, insightful, intelligent way to address it, and we're going to chat with him. I'm really looking forward to doing that. I'm going to remind you quickly about all of the social media options that are available to you. Obviously, you should be checking out toddstarns.com every single day, multiple times each and every day. In addition to that, if you don't mind liking The Jeff Katz Show over on Facebook, I'd appreciate it. And if you don't mind following The Jeff Katz Show on Getter, I would appreciate that as well. Well, Todd does an amazing job each and every day, and not just on the air. ToddStarns.com, you're going to find his writing, you're going to find his commentary, you are going to find the show, of course, ToddStarns.com, plus you're going to find some great books, including the latest, the Daily Devotional, The Daily Biscuit. It is a great read. Happy to be here, Jeff Katz, sitting in for my friend Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show. Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd, joining you from the Liberty University studios. What has happened to the great American worker? You know, that's an article today. What has happened to the great American worker? The Epoch Times. If you don't read the Epoch Times, I think it's a great publication. I really do. What has happened to the great American worker? Well, I don't know. We've seen this reevaluation of priorities. We have seen some people step up and say, okay, I'm a real leader. I'm not a quizzling. I'm not a mid-level manager. I'm not a paper pusher. I'm a real leader. And so I've heard the concerns over here. I understand the challenges over there. Let's get this all together and let's keep moving forward. But we heard about the Great Resignation. Remember that? Ah, that's it, Jeff. Things far more important to me than work. Okay. Well, I agree with you. And it's kind of bizarre because I love what I do. I really do. But my family, my faith, far more important to me than my job. And that's from someone who loves what they do. What about if you don't love what you do? Man, that's got to be a slog. All right. So we go through this Great Resignation, and then we have a recalibration of how the workplace is going to be. It's not going to be. It should be. And now all this buzz about layoffs coming from various and sundry companies in various and sundry sectors of the economy. Well, I don't know how to make heads or tails out of any of it, really. So I look to somebody who has spent a career, I mean a lifetime, looking at this, finding the kernel of truth, the piece of hope over there, getting everybody on the same page, getting stuff working. Tom Ziegler is just a brilliant guy and a wonderful author, and I'm just thrilled that he's joining us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tom, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Great to be here. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is mine, believe me. So I don't want to just push you into the deep end of the pool, but let me ask you, what the heck's going on in the world of business today in America?
It's crazy times, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call it, you know, I believe that we're in highly disruptive times. It kind of, the pandemic kind of set things in motion.
Right.
And now it's only increasing in intensity and frequency. It's like every day we wake up and there's something new. There's something else that's being disrupted. And people's values in this midst of all this have changed. And the way we do business has changed. And so there's all this uncertainty that's going on.
So we talk about the uncertainty, but I have to ask you, because again, this is what you do, but let's not kid ourselves. You also come from this amazing lineage where, you know, your dad, who millions of people loved and knew, I mean, he was leading people through challenging times then. What is it that you can provide to somebody that says, okay, here's how you're going to lead your team through these sort of choppy waters?
Yeah, and this is where I get really excited. I think, until recently, so many people had their priorities kind of out of order.
Yep.
They started with work as their number one focus, and then they oriented everything else around that. And then suddenly the pandemic said, wait a second, life is uncertain. You know, anybody gets sick. We lose people we love, and businesses went out of businesses and are out of business. And then people started working from home. And all of a sudden, there are more jobs than there are people to go get those jobs. And people said, you know what? I really want my life to matter. You know, yeah. I want to make a difference. I want it to count. And so that's where the Great Resignation really started, is people were like, you know what? I don't know exactly what I should be doing, but I know it's not what I was doing.
Right. Right. Right.
But then I asked the question, okay, so if you work in a business that you really believe in the mission of that organization, and you have leadership that values you and helps you to grow every day, they care about your own purpose, your own goals, and they protect your quality of life, would you leave a business like that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
And that's the problem, is all of a sudden leaders are having to understand that it's not just the paycheck that keeps somebody on board. They have to see a purpose in what they do. They have to buy into it. They have to have some sort of flexibility or autonomy. And they have to believe that leadership cares about them. And caring is much more than just kind words. It's a kind doing.
That's right. Now, do you think, as you look at this, do you think that the majority of companies are doing that? Are the majority of the managers, and I don't want to be nasty, but I always try and separate managers and leaders, because there's a world of difference, right?
Right, absolutely. So in the book, 10 Leadership Virtues for Disruptive Times, I talk about there's two types of leader categories. I call them the T-Rex manager and the coach leader.
Okay.
And typically, the hierarchical do-it-because-I-said-so top-down manager, what I call the T-Rex manager, they got sharp teeth and short arms. Sharp teeth because they they lead out of fear,
yep.
Do-it-because-I-said-so, and short arms because they like to keep control.
That's right.
And that type of leader, it doesn't work over a camera, right?
Right.
People are tired. You know, if you're working remotely and you're being told what to do, nobody likes to be told what to do.
That's right.
Competent people like to be asked, hey, what do you think is the best way to do this?
Yeah.
Of course, they need to be led in that process. Well, a coach leader comes at it from a totally different perspective, which is, hey, what do you think we should do? How do you see us solving this problem? You're the closest to the situation. And then the coach leader, through effective questioning, starts to guide and direct the outcomes mm-hmm. and creates a plan with that team member that the team member creates. And when I create something, I have ownership in it.
That's right.
And that's a totally different level of buy-in.
It absolutely is. Tom Ziegler is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Ziegler.com is where you will find not just Tom's writings, like 10 Leadership Virtues for Disruptive Times, which is a great read, but of course the entire Zig Ziegler collection. So let me ask you this, Tom. I know it's totally unfair, but you're a good guy. You can handle it, I'm sure. Ziegler says, born to win. Tom Ziegler says, choose to win. 2022 and beyond, which is right?
That's a great one. So one of my friends said to me, he looked at the two titles and he said, you know, we may not be born a winner or we may not be born a loser, but we're all born choosers.
That's right. So,
I really do believe that we are born to win. We have every ingredient inside of us already that just needs to be recognized, claimed, developed, and used.
Right.
It's already there, but guess what? We got to choose it.
Yep.
And so foundationally, you're born to win, which means you have all the ingredients, everything necessary, but then you got to choose it. And that's what we teach, is the choice is yours. And really what we're talking about today is people, they've lost hope in where they are in the situation they're in. That's why they're leaving. So why are they going to stay? Why are they going to engage when somebody brings in hope? And then, of course, my dad said this. He said, never give a promise without a plan. And so it's very true. Hope is not a strategy. But until you have hope, you're not going to take action.
That's
and
right.
So what the right kind of leadership does is it creates the plan, the action steps that lead to that desired outcome. And then we've all got to choose to then buy into that and take action on it. And that's where we are. Our country is in desperate need of a leader who gives us not only hope, but a plan to get there.
From your lips to God's ears, that's exactly correct. I would love to get some of the publications like 10 Leadership Virtues for Disruptive Times into the hands of everybody, both sides of the aisle, top to bottom, side to side in D.C. and say, you can't make any more decisions until you have read this book. That would be my plan, Tom. I don't know that it's going to work, but I'm just telling you what I would do.
Well, I support your plan.
All right, I'm providing hope. You got to provide the action plan on that one, though. We got to figure out the steps to do that. Let me ask you, Tom, as we sort of wrap this up. And again, I appreciate you joining us. I know you're traveling back and forth in time zones, and the fact you could make some time for us to join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line means the world to me. For folks who have heard us talk a little bit about your latest 10 Leadership Virtues for Disruptive Times, maybe they want to get it for themselves. Maybe they want to buy it anonymously, put it in a plain brown wrapper, slip it under the boss's door, you know, whatever they want to do. What is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, well, you can get it anywhere. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Audible. But if you want it autographed, you can get it at Ziegler.com. So any of the orders that come through there, I autograph. And the book is real simple. There's three main points to it. What's the mindset we've got to have as a leader?
Yep.
And unless we have that right mindset, people aren't going to follow. Then how do we love our people? Well, that's the 10 virtues. Everybody says love your people. Nobody tells you how. The book does that. And then finally, how do you have a conversation with somebody on your team that helps them to grow and become the person they were created to become? And that's what we talk about in the book. So Ziegler.com is where you get it if you want it autographed.
Well, I think everybody ought to get it autographed. That's just my own personal belief. Ziegler.com. Tom, as always, a pleasure to chat with you. I appreciate everything that you're doing. And like I said, I really do appreciate you making a couple of moments for us to chat about all of this.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That is Tom Ziegler, Ziegler.com, Ziegler, Ziegler.com. Virtues in the business world, virtues for leadership. These are the important things you and I have to deal with, should be dealing with every single day. You know, my friend Todd is a big, he's a big tea fan. You've heard him talk about it. One of his favorites, Life Change Tea, and they're having a big summer sale. You buy three, you get one free. Why not make a commitment to feel your very best? Life Change Tea is an amazing, natural, gentle cleanse. You can use it daily for optimum gut health. Todd is drinking it every single day. It is the right combination of 12 herbs. Comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. Life Change Tea has been around since 2007, made right here in the USA. Easy to brew. You keep it in your fridge. You drink it every single day. It's summertime, and Todd always wants a big glass of tea. I'm with him on that one. So why not drink Life Change Tea? Go to GetTheTea.com to order yours today. Discount code Todd10. You'll get an additional $10 off plus free shipping. It's over $50 in savings. GetTheTea.com. Use discount code Todd, T-O-D-D, and the number 10 for an additional $10 off plus free shipping. Do not miss out. Jeff Katz in for my friend Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. It's the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd from the Liberty University studios. Great stuff. I'm hopeful. I really am. I'm hopeful that we kind of end on an up note with Tom Ziegler. Really a fascinating guy. And there are a lot of good people, as you probably know, in that space. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. It is one of those situations where you got to find what's working for you. And it could be Zig Ziglar, it could be Tom Ziegler, it could be John Maxwell, it could be any of those folks. It could be somebody I don't even know about. I mean, I'm just thinking about the people that I read on a regular basis. And you've got to figure out what works for you. But I wanted to involve some faith, some family. I want you to take a look at all of this. Whatever is going on in the White House, whatever's going on in Congress, and you've got to put it all in perspective. Every single last bit of it has to be placed in perspective. You and I chatted the last time that I sat in for Todd. I said, you know, if somebody were to come up to me and said, okay, describe yourself. You know, like, let's go down the hierarchy. Do you start by saying, well, I'm a Republican? I don't know anybody who starts that way. I'm a Democrat. I don't know anybody who starts that way. I look at my own personal list. My personal list starts as child of God. All right? I'm just telling you how my personal list goes. Child of God, number one. Husband, father, number two. Proud, patriotic lover of the United States of America. I'll put that number three. And really far down the list is going to be party politics. But it's going to all relate back to numbers one, two, and three. I got to look out for you. Now, I don't mean look out for you in the way that the left is, oh, I'm going to take care of this one. No. I'm going to look out for you because as a human being, as, remember, number one, child of God, this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to offer help. We are supposed to help others. But that doesn't mean that you are establishing a socialist system. Not by a long shot. The ideas that I share with you, some of the craziness coming out of California. I know I repeat myself, craziness coming out of California. But think about it. Bat crap craziness coming out of California. Well, we're going to have a state board to set wages for fast food workers. And we're looking at a number of $22 an hour to start. How's that work out for you? Well, I don't think it's going to work out very well for anybody. In fact, if you had a time machine, today, go and talk to those fast food workers who are excited, they're thrilled, they're stoked, going, oh man, $22 an hour with this brand new government Politburo fast food commission. It's going to be great. $22 an hour, yes. And then go back to that same place in a year or 2 years and ask to speak to the same people. Now, some of them will have left, right? Because that's generally what happens with minimum wage jobs. People are not getting into them as careers. But there are going to be other people who are left. They're going to tell you, well, three of those people that you spoke to with your time machine 2 years ago, they're not here anymore. Why is that? I thought they were getting bumped up to $22 an hour. Well, they were. But the thing is, see, the owner of this particular franchise couldn't really afford that, even though the California Fast Food Politburo told him that he could. And you know what happened? He had to lay those people off. Well, what are they doing now? Nothing. Oh, well, that certainly worked out well, hasn't it? Just bear all this in mind. Keep the priorities straight. Think about a real hierarchy. I mean, an honest-to-goodness hierarchy. And then every once in a while, let a few facts sort of filter in. You will get that all the time, you know, over at ToddStarnes.com. Please make sure you are checking that out on a regular basis. If you don't mind, I'd love for you to like The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. I'd love for you to follow The Jeff Katz Show on Getter. It is Jeff Katz. Always, always, always happy to sit in for my friend Todd. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.